Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday, and it is time for our conversation with Dr. Weiss. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners.
Good morning. A blessed Monday morning to you. I hope you had a nice weekend and enjoying the nice weather we're having here in Missouri.
Yeah, this is kind of reminds me of, it was three years ago when we had like a total of 1.5 inches of snow. But then again, I don't want to get into global warming and, you know, get into that kind of a controversy. I keep hearing people talking about, well, this is all part of global warming. I said, well, I just think it's part of God's design. And, he's given us a brief good weather so we can kind of get out, even if it's a bit chilly. It's by the time, as you know, from walking this weekend, you start to get a bit warm and, everything feels pretty good to get out and see what's going on. Around here in Edwardsville, we have, not too far from us, we have a huge field across from we used to call them filling stations, a convenience store, Quick Trip, and you always see, three, four, five turkeys out there, right next to the highway, 159, and they're up in the trees, and of course, around Thanksgiving, that was kind of fun to see, but in general, it's all good. It's all good.
Well, very good. Very good. What do you have for us this week? What topics are we addressing today?
I got a whole bunch. I don't know how many we can address, but I'll just kind of run through some of the things that are happening in science and then to try and keep a hold on this biblically, we have to try and wonder, well, how do you address some of these scientifically? We don't have time to do that, but I do have to go back to what Dr. Martin Luther said, if the science doesn't fit into the theology, it's bad science. However, some of these things, we're really not sure what they're going to generate in terms of whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. One is the National Institutes of Health, which is funded by our tax money in Washington, D.C., is discussing the use of human cells added to animal embryos, primarily ovine pig embryos. What they would do, now this gets back, this is what they call a chimera. Some people perhaps have read the book, The Island of Dr. Moreau. A chimera is basically named for a monster of Greek mythology that had a body and a head of a lion. As I recall, it was fire-breathing goat's head on its back and a snake-like tail, kind of a scary sort of a thing. And interestingly enough, in Greek mythology, the chimera was a bad omen, and it appeared on shipwrecks, volcanoes, and other disasters. So what they want to do is to take the cells out of embryos of pigs and inject human cells from that have been created by in vitro fertilization. So they would take sperm and egg from donors, take the specific cells of a five-day-old embryo that would generate certain organs, take those cells out of the human and put them into an empty embryo that has been created in a petri dish, say, of a pig, and then try and grow organs using the pig embryo, human organs using the pig embryo. So that's kind of a scary situation, but that's what they're hoping to do. And of course, this is a very controversial issue to take a pig animals, their embryos, their fertilized eggs, take their cells out, put human cells in to see what happens. So if this ever moves to the point of transplant, that's what they hope to do, because they're saying, you know, right now we're using pig valves in heart transplants. That is to help correct and treat certain heart ailments. The other one is there is ongoing studies, of course, to try and find the so-called gay gene. They have never really found anything like that. There have been some studies produced recently where identical twins of, I think there was about 300 or so people studied identical twins, and they came up with the percent that only 20% to 50% chance of being gay. That is, if one of the brothers was gay, the other one had a 20% to 50% chance of being gay. So it wasn't, and these are identical, it wasn't absolute, which genetically it should be. So there doesn't seem to be at this point any absolute identifiable proof that there is a so-called gay gene or genes. Some people think there are other issues involved regarding hormones that could be passed on from mother to son or daughter, and or father to son or daughter. But in general, these are some recent findings that have come out. And I'll just let you know here, the Chinese are starting to get back into human cloning, and some American people are interested, even though it's illegal to transplant a human clone into a person. The one that is probably the most interesting and getting the most attention, well, there's two. One is in Britain, and here they're planning this in the United States at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio, are uterus transplants.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we've talked about that. I can't recall. But they've done 10 of them over in England with actually... with the results of one lady becoming pregnant. And here in the United States, they're planning the same thing. They haven't done it yet, but some people have said to me, well, what do you think about that, Bob? And I said, well, you know, we're transplanting hearts, lungs, livers, spleens, and it seems to me that if this is an issue of treatment, and it can be certainly if a person is born without a uterus or born with the complications, then I don't suppose from the standpoint of treatment there would be any theological basis for saying one shouldn't do that, because it is a transplant and it is a treatment of various diseases that occur to women who either lack a uterus or have trouble with a malformed uterus. So that's kind of an interesting thing that as the transplant business moves ahead, this is kind of where it's going. They do corneas as well, and now they're moving into reproductive organs. The last one, which I mentioned, is probably receiving in the field of science the most attention. It's called germline therapy treatment, where they want to take basically what they call a gene cutting. They want to cut out the bad genes that cause certain genetic disorders, for example, like cystic fibrosis, Huntington's disease, open spine, spina bifida, some of the things that most of our listeners have heard about.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want to inject the good genes into them. And they want to do this in the sperm and the egg. They want to do this in the reproductive cells before the fertilization even occurs. And this, of course, was one of the things in a very crass way that Hitler did, but he was using the Aryan people, the SS men and women from northern Germany and Prussia to create the so-called perfect race. So this type of experimentation is causing a great deal of discussion amongst the various scientific groups really throughout the world, where they can basically use a molecular scissors that can trim away the unwanted parts of a genome of the genetic material that we have in every cell in our body and replace it with new stretches of genetic material.
Hmm.
Sounds interesting, but it is a very controversial method right now because people are very much concerned about the probability of this going awry, because no one would know what would happen down the future and what would really be passed on to future generations. So those are some of the issues that I have been following in the field of science and what's going on.
All very interesting. I think the one that I've heard a little bit about is the uterine transplants, the transplanting of uteruses. I've heard a little bit about that, but I haven't read much on it yet.
Yeah, it's the first two international attempts at uterus transplantation have failed largely because of organ rejection. The Swedish research team accomplished its first birth, however, when they did this in September 2014, and they performed a total of 9 uterine transplants and have resulted in 5 pregnancies and 4 live births. So since the first two failed, the Swedish research team over in Sweden, obviously, have been working on this, and they've been working with this with the Cleveland Clinic in terms of trying to figure out how can this be done here in the United States. So after the approval from the Cleveland Clinic's Institutional Review Board, the researchers in Cleveland have begun to, I think they're working with women from the age of 21 to 39 in terms of with various problems. Either most of them do not have a uterus, are born with a very severely malformed uterus. And of course, this gets into the situation of is this meat right and beneficial? But I don't know what your thoughts are or what your listeners' thoughts are, but some of them may be scratching their head like, what's going to happen next? But this is just the world of science as it continues to move forward, and technology is improved to help treat certain people with certain, I guess you might say, genetic disorders and malformations that come in within the human body from various reproductive problems. So I sort of struggle with this kind of a thing, but it is going to happen. And I often wonder with the students, you know, what would you do if a woman came to you and said, Pastor, would it be okay? You know, I don't have a uterus, so I have a very poorly formed one, and it's not functioning. And I have my sister who can match me, and she's had her children. Should we be, is it okay if, with God, if I donate, if I accept her donated uterus? And I must admit, I'm not sure where I stand with that right now, other than I don't know that this would be any different than heart, lung transplant for cystic fibrosis or kidney transplant. But then again, one has to take a look at the bigger picture before one tries to draw a conclusion and say this is meat right and beneficial.
Do you know, we only have about a minute and a half left yet, but do you know historically how we've progressed on the topic of organ transplants from an ethics standpoint from Christians?
Actually, no, I really don't. There really, it's a very good question. There really has not been much written on this other than the basic conclusion would be this in terms of what I have read. If we're dealing with the issue of treatment for some type of genetic disorder or a problem within the context of the human body and soul that can be treated with a transplant over against enhancement, something that would make me better than I am right now, then we would say the treatment of a transplant, whatever that might be, would be meat, right, and beneficial. But if it gets into the category of enhancement of that which we already have been given and we want to make it better than we are, then we would say this is not in the purview of the biblical stewardship that God has given to us. Those are the two basic conclusions that I have been reading when it comes to organ and tissue transplantation from the Christian viewpoint. I don't know if this is kind of what you're targeting, but that's kind of what I've been reading.
I was just thinking about when some of the first organ transplants were happening, where did we as a Christian church stand on that? How has that perspective changed over time as science has brought about new understandings as well?
Yeah, I don't think we ever, based on what I can find, I have not really found much on this issue. It's kind of like when we go back to studying the whole issue of eugenics, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod outside of Walter A. Meyer, the radio personality, mm-hmm. the pastor, he was the only one that I have found through a student that has actually written on the story of eugenics in his book called For Better, For Worse. So we really didn't even respond to that except for, as far as we can tell, one pastor, Walter Meyer. So I haven't seen anything either on that area.
We are all out of time. God's blessings on your week. Have a great week, Dr. Weiss.
God's peace to you and your listeners. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye now.
If someone were to ask you, what is the evidence that Jesus is the Messiah, what would you say to them? Would you talk about that, well, he's divine, or that he died on the cross, or that he rose from the dead? It's interesting what Jesus himself says, and that will be the subject of our next Law and Gospel.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.